We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Forever a Bull podcast, connecting with the UB stars of the past. Here's your host, voice of the Bulls, Paul Peck.
Well, there's a new football league that starts up this week. It's called the XFL, and it has given a lot of players that, for whatever reason, couldn't make it to the NFL a chance to keep playing football, including four UB Bulls. And we have one of them on the line with us today. He is the outstanding center from 2 years ago, James O'Hagan, All-MAC player, team captain. And James, welcome in here to the In the Bullseye podcast. We want to talk to you about what life is like in the XFL. So how are things going here in a brand new league, brand new team, brand new everything?
It's going great. I mean, just being around football is just a blessing. Every day I wake up thankful that I get to still play this game, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm just hard work, obviously, because they're kind of cramming in 5 or 6 months of work from OTAs and camp and stuff like that into really 2 months, so that we can get ready for the season and everything. So that's been kind of challenging, but overall it's been a really good experience, and just happy to be playing football, you know.
What's it like, and have you noticed the fact that you're literally in a league that didn't exist, you're on a team that didn't exist, you're in a locker room, physically, uniforms, all that stuff that literally haven't existed before? Have you noticed, has that been kind of part of the theme for you and your teammates about being the first ones?
I think so, a little bit, but I think most of the guys are just trying to work their tails off of themselves and everything like that. I think it's like a major thing with it is like everybody's here, and like it's trying to create a team culture within like 2 months time span. So that's been pretty interesting, because I mean, when you go to a different place, it's like, wow, we have like this longstanding culture there. But when you get to like a new brand new team, it's like, wow, this is the first one. So we have to kind of hurry up and build this culture and try and build a winning organization within two months. So,
you know, based on your NFL experience with being in the Giants, with the Giants in training camp, you're coming from a football team that's been around forever, probably close to 100 years, to where you are at net. So my question to you is, having been in training camp with the Giants and having been on their roster through last offseason, how does that compare to what's going on now with the XFL Defenders?
It's a lot different because, when I started playing with the Giants and everything, like you said, there's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of history there. I mean, when you walk around the Giants building, it's just everything they've done, the history that's there. And here, I mean, for the most part, we're basically based out of a hotel in terms of like our meetings and stuff like that. So it's a lot different. Like, there's no people who've played here for you to ask for advice and stuff. Like with there's so many. I mean, and all the players are really close. Like, all the alumni from the Giants are really close to that organization. So it's definitely a big difference between the two. But I mean, it's been a great experience here so far. I mean, Coach Pep Hamilton has done a good job trying to really instill in us like hard work and stuff like that. So it's been good.
You've got your old college teammate, your old quarterback there with you as well. Tyree Jackson is on the DC Defenders roster, where he'll battle with Cardale Jones for the starting quarterback job. So how odd but not odd is that to be where you are playing pro ball but have the same quarterback with you?
I mean, it's pretty awesome. I mean, playing with Tyree again is just—it's a lot of fun. I mean, he's one of my closest friends, so it's just been great. Because like, it's a sense of familiarity too. Like, I'm not stepping in there with brand new guys all across the board. I mean, I'm playing with a guy that I've played 30, 40 games with, and that's been honestly a big ease to me. You know, like, it hasn't been completely new, so like the familiarity is there.
Sorry about that, James. Just had to answer the door real quick. Sorry to leave you hanging there. So,
that's okay.
So the question is, you know, people have read a little bit about the XFL, the different rule changes and things like that. So how much different football-wise is this from what you're used to?
Football-wise, it's pretty much the same. I mean, the only difference for me, for example, because I'm not playing not many special teams, is the 25-second play clock. So the communication that you can do at the line of scrimmage is a little bit toned down. Like, everything has to be a little bit more simplified at the line. In comparison to the NFL, which is a 40-second play clock, It's actually a big deal with how offenses get run, and most of it is going to be no huddle, maybe a little bit of a huddle, but I think it's the emphasis is playing a faster paced football game, which I think that fans will really like. But it hasn't been that much different to me. I mean, the special teams is going to be definitely a shocker to some people, though.
Like not kickoff, being able to run down on kickoffs, right? That's going to be pretty
noticeable. Honestly, I really think it's a good rule because the amount of injuries that happen on kickoff or punt are all collision injuries, right? Because you get guys retreating and then coming full speed, and that's how you get the concussions. But here, you're not even allowed to retreat once the returner catches. You got to go forward. So I think it'll be bigger plays on special teams, just put more of an emphasis on kick returners, and I really think that the lack of injuries is actually something that's going to be beneficial for the league, showing that they care about the players and care about player safety as well, over based off what has been done in the past, you know?
So what's the makeup of the roster? And then that rolls into the question of what do you expect? What should we expect the level of football to be like?
The roster is pretty much from all over the place. I mean, I think we have a ton of group of five guys, like Max Schools, Mountain West. I mean, Donald Pumphrey is our running back. So I think he has like close to some sort of record for rushing and stuff.
He played against UB in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, 2013.
Yeah, Cardale Jones, obviously, Ohio State has been, I mean, get the biggest schools in the country, that some of these guys are from. One of our outside linebackers is from LSU.
A lot of guys that have sort of been, unlike yourself, that have been through the NFL for a couple of years.
Are there
more guys that have been through NFL training camps than there are guys like you that are kind of that have never played in the league or new to things?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I mean, most of the guys have played in a training camp, I would say. I don't know if there's guys who just went from mini camp to here. I think there's a bunch of guys who've been on practice squads. There's guys who've been drafted here as high as like the third round, I think. I mean, it's a real conglomerate of people from all over the place, all different aspects, but all of them have pretty much played in the league for a little bit, yeah.
So how do you think that's going to translate to what we're going to see on the field?
I think, honestly, everyone will see a pretty good product. I mean, most of the guys have had a lot of success in college, and I think that that's what the league is trying to focus more on, is more of maybe like a Big 12, like kind of shootout matchup, because the way the overtime rules are is that it's basically like a soccer shootout, where each team gets one team will have a possession, try and score, then the team gets then the opposite offense gets a possession to try and score, and then you have up to five chances to do that. So it's kind of like a shootout in soccer where, like, it's going to go back and forth, especially with overtime. Overtime would be really exciting for a lot of the fans. I mean, and I think the level of football is just – I think it's still top-notch, and there's a lot of talent in the league all over the place, guys who played in the league and stuff. So I think that's what's something that the AAF, I mean, had a great pool of players, but I think that what the XFL is bringing to the table is probably going to be a little bit more with the level of talent.
All right, speaking of overtime, I realized this when I looked at the roster the other day, that one of your teammates is tight end Donnie Ernstberger from Western Michigan, who played in the 7 overtime game and infamously had his sister come onto the field to congratulate him when he thought the game was over. Has that come up between you and Donnie at all?
Yes, it definitely has. I always I'm talking stuff to him and everything like that about how there should have been a penalty on the field for his sister running on it. He's like, how is that even fair? I was like, I don't know. Just stay off the field.
It's a pretty cool memory that a lot of us haven't forgotten about. And when I saw that he was on the roster, I'm like, that is just too cool. All right, take us through a little bit of your experience with the Giants in training camp. First time out to be on essentially one of your hometown teams as a Long Island kid, playing, snapping the ball to Eli Manning and Daniel Jones and those guys and Saquon Barkley. What was the experience like for you, and what did you learn from being in training camp with the Giants?
Honestly, it was an amazing experience. I'm really thankful that the Giants organization took a chance on me. Unfortunately, I didn't get to stick around there, but it was amazing, especially like you said before, the history. Since 1925, that organization's been around, one of the oldest franchises in sports in general, and it's just it's awesome there. The players so talented and everything like that. I know they didn't have the season they wanted, but I mean, overall, I think that organization is in, like, a really good place going forward with Daniel and Saquon and Will Hernandez. All those guys are really, really talented.
What'd you learn about yourself, or what'd you learn about that you have to be better at to try to get back to the NFL?
The thing I probably try to be better at is just, I think the experience comes along with it, too, is just knowing the game in and out. And that's the thing I think I learned the most, was that there's a different level of knowledge that comes with playing in the NFL making calls to a new level. And I think that's something that I definitely took from it, is that after I got my foot in the door, I was like, okay, I think I can really do this. I just got to make sure that I'm on my P's and Q's when it comes to my football knowledge. And if I can do that and I can really master that, then I think I'll be able to stick around with an organization.
All right, so while you were busy working on that last year, how much were you able to keep an eye on your UB Bulls and how the season went for them last season?
I kept a pretty good eye on them. I watched pretty much all the games. I'm pretty sure I did watch all the games. it's a really awesome thing that they got their first bowl victory and everything like that. Just a lot of fun seeing guys that I was with for a long time who haven't really been able to win the big game. Win the big game in the bowl game and everything, which was amazing. upset they couldn't get to the MAC championship because really thought they were the best team in that league at the end of the year. I really thought they were just head and shoulders above everybody else. They just lost a couple tight games in the middle of the year, the Ohio game, I think, mm-hmm. of 21-20, missing an extra point in overtime.
You were watching, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely was. That one, the Kent State loss, you take those two losses and they're in the MAC championship playing a team that they blew out during this year and blew out handily.
Right.
So I was really hoping that they would be able to get into the championship, especially with their running attack, the way it was working at the end of the season. Jared Patterson running for all those yards, touchdowns, everything. It was just, I'm really proud of him too. He's just a hard worker and he's getting everything that he's working for now, and it's just awesome to see.
Yeah, well, now that he's on the national radar a little bit, even on some early list of Heisman Trophy candidates, what do you know about Jarrett that maybe the rest of us need to know or that the nation's finally learning?
Well, as a true freshman, this whole story, as a true freshman coming into college, he got gray-shirted, obviously, I think. His first year,
mm-hmm.
so he missed that first fall, but then he came in into the winter and the spring, and the first thing I noticed about him was he kid strong as heck. This is my senior year, obviously, and I'm getting ready to try and go play at the next level, and I'm squatting with him at the first couple weeks of winter conditioning and summer workouts, and he was pretty much my lift partner for all of my senior year and his freshman year, so. It should tell you a lot about the kid because he's just willing to work with whoever, and he's strong enough to work with whoever as well. So just thing that I thought about him first was he's an incredibly hard worker, and when that first spring ball rolled around, he started making guys miss, and they were like, oh, he's doing this against the threes. I was like, no, this kid is different. Like, this guy's going to be an animal because he was just clowning people. He was stiff-arming guys, juking guys, and I was like, where was he last year? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other guy I want to ask you about was the guy who replaced you in Mike Nowitzki. And I believe you and I had a conversation at the bowl game in Mobile and you said to me, you said, we're going to be fine at center. This kid's going to be a terrific. And you were pretty right about that. Nowitzki didn't miss a beat, started every game. On an offensive line that set records for rushing yards and fewest sacks allowed. So how good does that make you feel that your protege picked up the mantle and ran with it?
It makes me feel awesome, honestly. It's just great to see a guy who's willing to put it in. I mean, Mike Nowitzki texted me during the year asking what he could get better at and asking me about technique stuff and everything like that, which, I mean, not everybody's doing that kind of thing. And that just goes to show you it's a testament to his character and how good he wants to be. I mean, he's super athletic. He's tough. Obviously got a lot to work on still. He's only a freshman, but he's headed in such a promising direction. I'm really happy for him, really proud of him.
All right, so your DC Defenders will open up at home on Saturday, this coming Saturday the 8th. It's a game that will be broadcast on ABC. You are the very first game in the brand new league. That's got to be pretty cool. What's your overall excitement level heading into this weekend?
I'm really excited. Just going to try and help my team get the victory and everything like that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I expect to see high scoring games, stuff like that. It's going to be awesome.
All right, so it's James O'Hagan and Tyree Jackson on the DC Defenders. John Kling, offensive lineman, your old teammate, going to be on the New York Guardians. And then former Bulls punter Jake Shum on the Tampa Bay Vipers. It's the UB Bulls, 4X Bulls players, they're grouping into the XFL, and as always, James, you're leading the way, and good luck this season, and we look forward to keep an eye on you, and hopefully you do a little more trailblazing like you did here, you do it with the Defenders.
Heck yeah, I mean, just really excited. Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, my pleasure. Always good to catch up with former Bulls captain and starting center, James O'Hagan, as he gets going on his XFL experience this weekend. We thank James for a couple minutes of his time on this Forever a Bull version of the In the Bullseye podcast.
Once a Bull, always a Bull. This has been a production of Bulls Digital.